week I had occasion to speak two previous times on Hilchas Purim. So I'll just, some of the Talmidim heard the other two Shurim. So I'll just run through some additional halakhas that I hadn't spoken about on the other two occasions. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the minhag to give a Machtas HaShekel before Purim. The Rambam quotes in the name of the Maharil that one should be careful not to say that this is Machtas HaShekel because of a chashash and magdish kachim bachutz. If it's really Machtas HaShekel, then it has a kedushas hegdishan, so you're not permitted to use it for tzedakah or for any other purposes. So the Maharil stresses, the Rambam quotes in the name of the Maharil, one should be careful to say that this is only zecher l'machtas HaShekel. It's interesting, we are so used to the Machtas HaShekel, we don't think of any other possibility. In the days of the Rishonim, some of them had a completely different minhag. The Tesis Rabbeinu Peretz is quoted by the Minchas Alaza. Peretz is quoted as having had a completely different minhag to give Shlishis HaShekel, because based on the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tes, it's quoted in Yerideya, Hilchas Tzedakah, that every person, whether poor or rich, has to give Tzedakah, a little bit of Tzedakah every year. What is the minimum amount of Tzedakah you can give in order to fulfill a mitzvah? You're supposed to give Kefi Yashrei, Asher has to give Kefi Yashrei, but what if a person is so poor, they can't really afford to give anything? How much must you give? If you haven't given that, so you're not Yotze. So the Gemara derives from a pasuk, Shlishis HaShekel, a third of a shekel. So the Rabbeinu Peretz records that they used to give the Shlishis HaShekel in Chodesh Adar, because there was a din bizman Abayis, that everybody had to give Machtas HaShekel for the Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash this season of the year. So everybody had a minhag to give their Shlishis HaShekel for the whole year's tzedakah this time of the year. There's a very interesting essay, those of you who have time to look it up, by Rav Kook's brother, regarding the whole background, the whole hishtalshulus of the history of the Machtas HaShekel. It was instituted by the Gaonim in Eretz Yisrael as a fundraising gimmick for the yeshivas, and then the Gaonim in Bavel were very much against it because they said it's a chashash and magdish bizman hazeh. The Gaonim Eretz Yisrael said they passed like Yerushalmi that even if you mafish Machtas HaShekel bizman hazeh, it's not chal. So he quotes from the Tshuvas HaGaonim, from the early Rishonim, the whole background of this minhag. It was mentioned before, the Gabbai made an announcement before, the minhag is to give the Machtas, the Rambam quotes minhag is to give the Machtas HaShekel on Tainis Esther. The older minhag was to give the Machtas HaShekel earlier, Parshas Shkolim, before Rosh Chodesh Adar, sometime during Adar. And the Rambam writes that our minhag is to give it on Tainis Esther. The question is, what if, well, Tainis Esther is usually right before Kriyas HaMegillah, so you give in between Mincha and Ma'ariv, so to speak, in between the Mincha of Tainis Esther and the Ma'ariv of right before Kriyas HaMegillah. What if you have a few days in between, like if you have Tainis Esther today, and you have the Kriyas HaMegillah Matzoy Shabbos, so the Kaf HaChaim writes that the proper minhag is to give the Machtas HaShekel today, based on the Gemara in Brachas, in the beginning of the, towards the beginning of the first parak in Brachas, the Gemara says that the Agra de Taineser Tzidkisa, that the Ikes Char that a person gets for fasting on a Tainis is not that he pinicked himself, not that he suffered so much. How much did we suffer with all the stuff from yesterday? The Ikes reward that you get for observing a Tainis is the fact that you give tzedakah on the Tainis. So he says that's what the minhag really is, to give the Machtas HaShekel on Tainis Esther. This Shabbos we learn Parsha Zohar. The Shulchan Aruch quotes that according to some opinions in Tosfos, the Parsha Zohar is a Chiyuv Kriya De'Oraisa, and the Balkori and the Tzibu should all have in mind to be Yotze that special mitzvah. It's not stam the mitzvah of Parshas HaShavua, stam HaHaftarah, it's a special Kriya, and possibly a Din De'Oraisa. Kaf HaChaim quotes an interesting Kash in Eteretz in the name of Achreinim. Why don't we, if this is so, that it's a special mitzvah De'Oraisa to learn Parsha Zohar, so why don't we have a special Brocha? Shekadoshonu B'mitzvos V'tzivonu, Akriyas Parsha Zohar. All right, so he has a teretz. He could perhaps give various answers on Akasha. So he has an interesting teretz that even though Parsha Zohar we're reading about the Mapola of the Rishoyim, Yimach Shmam Zichram Amalek, but still the Rebbeinu Shlomo would not be too thrilled about having a bracha to him, a Sherech Vahedor recited to him, Amapolosim Shal Rishoyim, as the Gemara, as the Medrash say, that Bikshem Alachai Asheres Loim Ashira, when the Mitzrim were drowning at the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf, so the Malachim wanted to sing Shira. Isn't that wonderful? that the Rishama having a lapola, and the Rabbanu Shalom said that it's not right. There is a mitzvah to kill amol. It's a big mitzvah to kill amol. Those who don't kill amolek are condemned for that. Those who have rachmonis on amolek, the Medrash says, "Kol amaracham alu achzor nasef nase achzor ala rachmonim," and so on. The Gemara tells a fascinating story in Baba Basra in the second Perek that Yoav was sent to kill out Amalek. He only killed the men, he didn't kill the women. And then David got angry, why didn't he kill the women? So he said that when he was in Cheder, the Malama told him that he read the Pasuk in such a way, Timchazerachar Amalek, however he read it, he only killed the men. So the Gemara says that David had to go find out who his Malamed was, and he killed him. The Gemara says David went and he killed the Malamed. Another version of the Gemara is he didn't kill him, he cursed him. Same thing. He said, the Malamed has to be so careful when he teaches. So it's a very important mitzvah that you have to kill Amalek, the men, the women and children, everybody, not just the men. Everybody. But still, the Zachranim, the Kafachain quotes from the Yofel Alei, from one of the Sephardic Zachranim, but you don't say a bracha in that kind of mitzvah. You don't do it with glee and with joy. It's one of the mitzvahs that, unfortunately, you have to do. In addition to all of the mitzvahs hayom that we observe on Purim, there is another mitzvah that the Rav was speaking about last night a little bit, the actual mitzvah of celebrating it as a yontif. The Rav pointed out the problem that the Gemara mentions, it should really be, the Ramban interprets the Gemara like that, the Ramban HaChumash, it should really be a violation of Bal Tosif. How can you add on another yontif in addition to the Yom Tov mentioned in Chumash? The Magen Avraham in Hilchos Purim quotes in the name of the Maharam al Shakar in a tshuva that if a family or if a community had a yeshua, so it's proper that they should celebrate on the occasion of the yeshua every year and the coming years in commemoration of that yeshua. And in many communities in Europe, they had different times of the year when they celebrated their own personal Purims. This certainly is not a violation of Bal Tosif, because you like bringing a carbon tidy, you give Shevach V'Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Chayyadim and the Malbim point out, Chayyadim at the very end of Hilchos Purim, and the Malbim on his commentary on Megillas Esther, both point out that this only applies, the Tshuva the Maram al-Shak only applies to a private family or a community, but not to Klal Yisrael. If the entire Jewish nation is going to celebrate a holiday, then you do have a problem of Bal Tosif. And that's what the Chachamim were wondering about in the days of Mordechai Esther. Shouldn't this just the actual celebration of a new Yontif? Shouldn't it be a violation of Bal Tosif? Until they found a mocker, they found some kind of a remez. What is the remez? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah speaks of the whole institution of Megillas Tainis. That, like the Rav spoke last night, Chanukah and Purim are related to each other. It's not just Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah and Purim are the only two holidays that we have left today from the whole series of the holidays in Megillas Tainis. There was a whole list, came out every month in Donishtig. They had another holiday, Bizman Bayisheni, when they couldn't fast and they couldn't have Hesped, or having parties, Gansi Ofrelach. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that all of those holidays that the Chachamim instituted, Bizman Bayisheni, that was celebrated every year, were all bottled at the close of the Bayisheni. In the year 70, when the Beis HaMikdash was Charev, as the Gemara has Machlokes, and we pass in that bottle of Megillas Tainis, we don't continue to celebrate these holidays anymore, with the two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim. And then the Gemara seems to give you the klal. What was the guiding principle that led the Chachamim to know on which occasion they should establish a yontif and which not? So the Gemara doesn't spell it out mafurit, but the mashmoyis of the sugi is that these Yom Tovim, the two that we have left today, the Chanukah and Purim, are really celebrations of the union of Simchas Beis HaMikdosh, Simchas Binyan Beis HaMikdosh. Just as in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they made the Mishkan, there was a big Simcha, and they were celebrating. They had Chanukah HaNasiim. In the days of Shlomo HaMelech, they also had a celebration for Chanukah HaMikdosh. It says that the Gemara says in Ma'akot, that the 8th of Yom Kippur, celebrated the 7 days right before Sukkot. And the Gemara says part of those 7 days is Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says a Baskel came out from heaven and said that they did right. They had the right to eat on Sukkot. The Simchas Binyan Beis HaMikdash is such a great mitzvah. And the Psukim in the end of Yecheskel described that Lasi Lavo, when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, there will be again a great celebration for a very long period of time. So the Gemara seems to assume, the Gemara seems to understand that the Yom Tovim and the Megillas Tainis are in commemoration of either the Binyan Beis HaMikdash or reinstituting of the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, or the donating of some new parts to the Beis HaMikdash, or straightening out some facet of the Beis HaMikdash or another. And Midiri Kabbalah, the Nevi'im or Mecharish, that not only is there such a mitzvah chiyuvis, at the time that you build the Beis HaMikdash, there is a mitzvah, not a mitzvah chiyuvis, but a mitzvah kiyumis. If you do it, you get a mitzvah. If you celebrate not only on the occasion of Binyan HaBayis, and you celebrate when you straighten out things in the Beis HaMikdash, or in commemoration of these things, even in future years, even in years way after the original event occurred. So the Gemara seems to assume that that is the inyan of the Etzem Kriyas HaYontif. The Yontif of Purim is connected with the Simchas Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The question is that according to the Gemara's tradition, according to the Kabbalah of the Gemara, the Nes Purim occurred during the 70 years of Golus Bavel. So what did it have to do with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash? And in fact, the Turi Yevin raises this kasha, Chassam Seif and other posts can discuss it. The Gemara says you're forbidden from instituting any new Yamim Tevim Bizman Achurban because of Bal Tosif. If it's a Yom Tov for Gans Klal Yisrael, then it's a violation of Bal Tosif. Unless it's Bizman Abayis and it has something to do with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Nusaf, the Nes Martcha, Nes Purim. The days of Martcha V'Esther was during the Churban, during the 7 years of the Golus Bavel. So what right do they have to be kaveh Yom Tov at all? Wasn't it a violation of Bal Tosif? So the Nesivis in his commentary on Megillas Esther comments on the end of Perek Tes that it would appear from the Gemara that the Chachamim in that door felt that this was the Aschalt of the Geula. That's the lashon that he used. I remember when I used to learn in the Meir Yeshiva in Brooklyn, they used to distribute every Friday afternoon the newspaper Mishmeret Chomoteinu. It's an Turkite newspaper. It's printed in Yerushalayim, I think, so we used to send it to America and distribute it, I think, 2 or 3 weeks after it was printed there. So remember, I once read one of the essays there, that they quote Rav Kook and others, they say, these Apikursim all say that this is the Aschalt of the Geula, the Medina. What Aschalt of the Geula? Either you have a Geula, you don't have a Geula. The Zionists made up their own kant, a new term, Aschalt of the Geula. So it was a good taina. Where they get this Aschalt of the Geula business? Then I saw later, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says Megillah Aschalt of the Geula. The Gemara says Muhammad says Aschalt of the Geula. Then the latest one, they all quote Zoyers. I'm not familiar with. They quote the Zohar talks all over the place about Aschalt of the Geula. Then I saw the Nesivis says, when you have an Aschalt of the Geula, you have a right to be Kaveya Yon to Fakir. It's not for the fact that the Chachamim felt that the Nes Purim is going to lead up to the Binyan. By Shein, they would never have had the right to establish a Yom Tov in the first place, because it would have constituted a violation of Bal Tosif. So the one Inyan that we have on Purim, in addition to the Kriyas HaMegillah, and Matanis Lavyon, Mishloach Manos, and the Suda, everything else, the Etzem fact that we celebrate it as a Yom Tov is Al Shem Binyan Beis HaMikdash. All of the other Yomim Tovim were batlu, all the Yomim Tovim Megillas Tainis were batlu because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Simcha Mazu also, what are we celebrating now? There is no Beis HaMikdash, that's why all the others were bottled. So apparently the answer is, the Megillah says, apparently that this Nes Purim had some effect on future generations. Not only did it pave the way for the Binyan Bayis Sheni, apparently it was some kind of a hachana for the Binyan Bayis HaShlishi as well. The Mistama, the Pshat is that the Gemara says in Shabbos, that Fecheh, that Kimu Kiblu, there was a new Kabbalah Satera at the time of the Nes Purim. And the Novi says in Yirmiyah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have to make a new Krisis Bris with Bnei Yisrael in order to let us get Eretz Yisrael again. The first Bris that we made at Har Sinai, we were Mefer, we violated by doing all the Averes, by worshipping Avodah Zarah and so on. So the Novi says, V'charati itchem Bris Chadosh is going to make a new Krisis Bris, and this Bris will never be broken. And that new Krisis Bris will enable us to build the Beis HaMikdash again and to enter Eretz Yisrael again and so on. So apparently the Chachamim felt that that Krisis Bris that was made, Kimu V'Kiblu, that Bris that was made B'Mei Martcha V'Yester, and then B'Mei Ezra, the Bris Amona that was made, and the Shinui of the Ksav, the Gemara speaks of in Sanhedrin, all of this big Krisis Bris that took a few years to complete, was the Krisis Bris that enabled us to enter Eretz Yisrael the second time and to build the second Beis HaMikdash, and it won't have to be repeated again. The Navi Yirmiyah said that will be the Bris that won't be broken. That Krisis Bris is the one that will enable us to build the Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash. Shalosit. So apparently, perhaps this is the reason why we still continue to celebrate Purim today. Al Shem Simchas Beis HaMikdash Shalosit Lover. We are celebrating in anticipation of the Binyan Bayis HaShlishi. The fact that Purim is also a Yom Tov of Kabbalah Satar is also brought out by the Gaonim. The Gaonim say that that's why there's a mitzvah of Suda. The Gemara says in Psochim and in Beitza, there's a machlekes, Rav Lezer, Rav Yeshua, how one is supposed to celebrate on Pesach and on Sukkot and on Rosh Hashanah. Should you have Okul al Hashem, Okul Hashem, or should you have Chetzil Hashem and Chetzil Hashem? So we pass from like Rav Yeshua that every Yom Tov is Chetzil Hashem and Chetzil Hashem. So the Gemara says, but even Aliba, the Reb Lezer, who says if you choose to, you can have Kula Lashem, you can spend the overwhelming majority of the day davening and learning and so on, just eat a light Suda. Nevertheless, Hakol Moedim Batzeres, all the Tanaim agree, and Reb Lezer agrees, On Shavuos, the Bina Nami Lachem, you have to have a significant Suda, because Shavuos is the Yom Kabbalah Satoris, Yom Matan Torah. So you have to have a Suda Al Shem Simchas Kabbalah Satoris. Then the Gemara says, HaKol Moedim also on Purim, everybody agrees on Purim, that you must have a Suda, because the Megillah says, Yemei Mishta V'Simcha. So the Gaonim have a slightly different gears in that Gemara. Instead of merely quoting the Pasuk, Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, the Gaonim say, because it's also Ki Yom Matan Torah. So the Mefarshim explained, and it's even his commentary on the Shiltas, and in parentheses in the Mordechai HaMegillah, whoever put the parentheses there writes a comment, Ayin Shabbos Daf Peches, that what the Gaonim's Girsa means is that Purim is also a Yontif of Kabbalah Satayra. And that's what the Suda relates to. The fact that it's a Yontif fits in with the whole system of Megillah Steinis. It's a Yontif Al Shem Binyan Beis HaMikdash that enabled us then to build the second Beis HaMikdash, and that Kabbalah Satera then will enable us to build the third Beis HaMikdash, Allah Sidlov. And the fact that it is a Yontif on which we celebrate Kabbalah Satera is why we have a mitzvah of Suda. The Mishnah Brura points out a din that many people are not aware of. Mishnah Brura is not found here in Hilchas Purim, it's in Hilchas Kriya Satera. That one who has a Megillah that's written on a cloth, not one that's printed, should wash and tillis yadayim in advance before he touches the parchment. Because the Gemara has halacha, one is not permitted to be oicha sefer Torah orim. You're not permitted to touch sefer Torah, nevi'im uksuvim, with your bare hands. So nevi'im uksuvim, since there's a bit of a machloikis, whether the Yisra applies there or not, although we follow the machmirim, that one is not permitted to touch the cloth of nevi'im uksuvim either, unless he's a sefer and he has to write, he doesn't have to put on gloves when he's writing a sefer Torah. It will come out sloppy. But whenever it's l'tzarech, it's muta. But whenever shlo l'tzarech, you're not permitted to hold the cloth with your bare hand. So though normally we're machmer on the vim ksuvim as well, if one washes metilas yadayim in advance, then the Ramah writes in Hilchas Kriya Sator, then we're makel on the vim ksuvim. On a sefer Torah, we're not. Even if you wash your hands in advance, we're not machmer. But on the vim ksuvim, it's muta. So the Mishnah Brura is moira that this is a shala that comes up every Purim. That those who are going to hold on to a Megillah should make sure they wash in advance. They don't say a bracha, but they should wash with a cup, like before a suda. B'shas Kriyas HaMegillah, it's very common that people miss a word or two from the Baal Kori when they clap homan, or if the Baal Kori swallows some words. So the Mishnah Brura points out a cheshbon based on the Shulchan Aruch. Many people know, some don't, so I'll just review it. The din is, the Gemara says that the Kriyas HaMegillah only has to be Ruba Mitech HaKsav. If you lay in Rov HaMegillah Mitech HaKsav, and a miut of the Megillah, a minority of the psukim of the Megillah, said Baal Peh, so then one would be Yotzeh. So if one reads from a printed Megillah, this is considered Baal Peh. Even though it's printed, but that's called Baal Peh because it doesn't have Kedushas Klaf, Kedushas Ksav of the Megillah. So the Mishnah Brura writes that if you miss the word from the Baal Kori, you can always make up the few words, or a pasuk or whatever, you make up those few words by reading from the printed Megillah. The only thing is you have to be careful to have all of the words in order. Let's say I missed the word at the beginning of the pasuk, and now the Baal Kori is ready three psukim later. So then I have to read from the beginning of that pasuk, from the last spot where I heard everything in order, from the Baal Kori, till the place where the Baal Kori is now. Even if it happens to be a few psukim, it's still okay. It's going to be if it turns out to be a miut of the entire Megillah. And then I pick up and I continue listening to the kriya of the Baal Kori. The shaila is, what if someone comes into shul a second late? He comes in, the Baal Kori just started, Vahibi Me'ah Hashveh, just started the beginning of the Kriyas HaMegillah. So would we recommend that he should say the three brachas himself and then start reading the first few psukim from the Megillah and then pick up with the Baal Kori or not? So the Mishnah Brura says even in that case it's also okay. He quotes one opinion from Achronim which he rejects, that in the beginning, B'tchiloso, B'sofo, it's not acceptable, but he explains that it's not correct. Even in the beginning and the end it's also okay. The din is, the Mishnah says, that the one who lays the Megillah has to be a mechuyev bedover. Kol mishenim mechuyev bedover, and a motzah chayim adeichai vosa. The Mishnah has a machlegis of Birun Rabbanon, can a katan, one who's before bar mitzvah, can a katan lay the Megillah to be motzi everybody else. So we pass from like the Chachamim that not. A katan cannot lay to be motzi everybody else. The Tosis has two pshotim on the Mishnah. What does it mean exactly? Is the machlegis of Birun Rabbanon that a katan shaloi higi alachina? The katan is not mechuyev in Kriyas HaMegillah even with the Rabbanon. So that's why the Rabbanan say that he cannot be motzi achem edeichai vosam. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda holds that requirement for mechuyev bedover kedei lahotzi achem edeichai vosam only applies to mitzvahs deraisa like tkiya shofar. That's the original Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah at the end of the third parak. But with respect to mitzvahs derabbanan, perhaps there's no requirement for mechuyev bedover at all. But what if the kid would be a kotnaha shehigiyah lechinuch? Then the child is also mechuyev in kriyas hamegillah. So he is mechuyev bedovah. So then everybody would agree, even the chachamim of the Rav Yudah would agree, that the kotnaha shehigiyah lechinuch could be motzi everybody else, because our kolponim, he's mechuyev in the rabbonim. We're mechuyev in the rabbonim. Everybody's mechuyev. Or Tosis has another day, you know. If the kotnaha is lo higiyah lechinuch, so he's not even mechuyev bedovah with the rabbonim, then Rav Yudah would also never say that he can be motzi everybody else. Rav Yudah also agrees that you cannot be motzi even the mitzvahs of the rabbonim, unless you yourself are a mechuyev bedover. Now the whole Mishnah is only limiting its remarks to the case where the kotnaha is higiyah lechinuch. So then Rav Yudah offhand is right. He says kotnaha shehigiyah lechinuch is mechuyev with the rabbonim, he can be motzi us. We're also mechuyev with the rabbonim. And the chachamim disagree and they say no, the kotnaha cannot be motzi us. Why? Because we are mechuyev with the rabbonim, and the kotnaha has a lower level of chiyuv. The kotnaha is called the trei de rabbonim. First of all, kriyas hamegillah is the rabbonim, and secondly, the kotnaha is only mechuyev in chinuch. And Kriyas HaMegillah Matan Chinuch, which is the Rabbanon. So since his Chiyuv the Rabbanon is on a lower level than our Chiyuv, so therefore he cannot be Motzi us. This is the way the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Chumra opinion, that even a Kotnaha Shehigiyah Lechinuch cannot be Motzi Acherim Midei Chayvos. In fact, some poskim even add on quite a Chumra Dik Chiddush. The Minchas Aloza has the following Chiddush, that even a kid who is just Bar Mitzvah, although we would allow him to learn Kriyas HaTorah all year long, we would allow him to daven for an omen and so on, we would be tzarif him to a minion, but some poskim say, with respect to all the deraisa, we cannot rely on the chazoke, on the umdine, that any boy or girl who has reached the age of 13 or 12 most probably has shtei sarus as well. The Gemara says that a boy or a girl don't become bar mitzvah, they don't become gedolim just with shanim, just with the years alone. In order to be a gadol, to be a bar chiyuve, you have to have shanim visimonim, you have to be 13 years old and have shtei sarus growing on the aver ha'ervo. So how do you know that a kid has shtei sarus? Unless you check, how does anybody know? So the Gemara says, normally you have the right to assume that a normal child has reached the age of 13, probably is heavy shtei sarus. So the Gemara says in Bava Basra and Perek Mishamei, that you're not permitted to rely on this chazoke de rove with respect to chalitze. Let's say my brother died leaving no children, and his wife is now an almana, so she needs chalitze, and I'm not bar mitzvah yet. So I'm not bar mitzvah, can't do chalitze. Then I just became bar mitzvah yesterday, I'll do the chalitza today. So the Gemara says, no, since the din is a din de'araisa, that in order to do chalitza, you have to be a godol, you have to be a bar mitzvah. So you don't rely on this chazaka that kol shehigiyah lechlal shanim probably is higiyah lechlal simanim, and you don't let me do the chalitza unless you know bevadai that I am a godol. Or let's say for a get, would you allow me to sign a get? I was just bar mitzvah yesterday, can I sign a get today? See, if my beard is growing already, so you know that I have shtei saris growing also, if I have children already, so you know that I have shtei saris. But a young kid was just by mitzvah, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to rely on the chazaka de rove to let him sign on a get to be an aid by a chasin and so on. So some poskim are of the opinion that this is only a chumer by a yone yuchsin, like the Gemara has in the end of the first perek in Ksub, is my loss of be yuchsin, like you have in the end of Yivam, it's my loss of be yuchsin, that even though you have a rove and somebody drowns in a mayim shein lamsof, so the rove is that the fellow drowned in the ocean, he's dead. So the Gemara says if it's only one rove, you're not allowed to be mata the aguna based on a roi because my loss of yuchsin. You have to have trei rubi. Chad rubi is not enough. So some poskim hold that that's the chumra over here. The chumra that you don't rely on the chazoke that kol shehigiyah lechlal shanim, higiyah lechlal simanim is just not acceptable. Benegeh to chalitza, benegeh to ageta, benegeh to achaser. But benegeh to all other dinim, we would rely on the roi. And we're usually machmir like the other opinions in the poskim that we don't rely on this chazoke de rove in all dinim de rais, only in dinim de rabon. So now the Minchas Aloza, the Munkacha has in his Tshuvas, he says that since many poskim say that Divrei Kabbalah have the same status as Divrei Torah, and Kriyas HaMegillah is an inyan of Divrei Kabbalah, it's a Din DeRabbanan which is recorded in Kisvei HaKodesh, it has a higher level of a Din DeRabbanan. So therefore, we shouldn't rely on the Chazaka DeRavah here either. We shouldn't rely on the Chazaka that the kid was just by mitzvah, we shouldn't let him learn Kriyas HaMegillah. Others disagree with the Minchas Aloza. That Shabina Rav has in his Tshuvas David Meisharim a whole explanation why he thinks that that this should not be so, but it's a proper chumr. Many are machmer on their own without knowing the Minchas Aloza. The question is, what exactly does that mean that you have to have a mechuyev bedover? Is it just enough if he's mechuyev bedover, or does it mean more than that? So this is a major machlokes. As the Rav touched on it last night a little bit, then he asked the Olam, what's the din? And somebody screamed out an answer, so he said, Zalzayin, Zalzayin, he went by them. Previous years, the Rav dwelled on this at length. There's a machlekes, the Ran and the Ritva, regarding the following case. Who's going to lane for the Bnei HaKforim? the Bnei HaKfarim don't lay in the Megillah, let's say, on Purim proper, let's say Purim is on Sunday, they would lay in the Megillah today, on Thursday. Either the Monday or the Thursday prior to Purim, unless Purim itself falls out on Monday or Thursday. So who lays for these Bnei HaKfarim? So the Ritva sides with Rashi. The Ritva says that the Bnei Hoir, the people who live in the city, so I'm chayiv to lay in the Megillah on Sunday, can lay in the Megillah today, to be motzi the Bnei HaKfar. Are the Bnei Hoir considered mechuyev b'davar today? If we'd lay in the Megillah today, we wouldn't be yotzei. We're Bnei Hoir, only Bnei Kfarim are yotzei on the Yom HaKnisa, the Monday or the Thursday in advance of Purim. So how can you consider the Bnei Hoir mechuyev b'davar that they should be able to be motzi the Bnei HaKfar? So the Ritva gives you a very clear explanation. He says, nah, that's not right. The Bnei HaKfarim really are mechuyev to lain also on Sunday. And the proper thing is that they should lain on Sunday. But it's a heter, it's a kula that we give them, that if they're too lazy to lain on Sunday and it's more convenient for them to lain on the Monday or Thursday in advance, so we allow them, we're makel for them that they should lain on the Monday or Thursday Yom HaKnisa before. But basically they're the same, they have the same chiyuv kriyas on the gila as everybody else. So everybody's in the same boat together, we're all mechuyev b'davar, except that we don't, the Bnei Hoir don't have the kula, and the Bnei HaKfarim do have the kula. So since I'm just as mechuyev as the farmer, as the Bnei HaKfarim, so I'm mechuyev b'davar, and I can be motzi them idei chayvos. That's what the Ritva says in Megillah. The Ran disagrees with this Ritva. And the Ran is quoted by the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes the Tshuvas HaRivosh, who quotes the Tshuvas HaRan, and the Rivosh sent back a Tshuva. The Ran has a new Einfeld. He says that, what do you mean I lay in the Megillah to be mighty somebody else? What does Shemei Kohenim mean? It doesn't just mean I read the Megillah and you're Yotzei, and I don't have to be Yotzei at all. Let's say I've already heard the Megillah and shul, then I go to lay the Megillah for somebody else. I'm laying the Megillah only to be mighty then. Let's say a case of Yotzei Mighty. I'm not being Yotzei at all. Or if I'm one of the Bnei Hoir and I'm reading the Megillah today for the Bnei HaKfarim, so again, I'm not being Yotzei the Megillah today. I have to read the Megillah on Sunday. I can read the Megillah 100 times today, I won't fulfill my mitzvah, but I can only read the Megillah for the Bnei HaKfarim. So what's the pshat in such a case when a person lays the Megillah, or he says Kiddush Havdalah, whatever, and he's doing this mitzvah for somebody else, a mitzvah of Shmiyah, mitzvah of Shmiyah Kohen for someone else, not for himself. He himself is not being Yotzei now. There's a pshat, the other person is being Yotzei, I'm not being Yotzei at all. So how is it Take Mechuyi B'dover? If I'm not being Yotzei at all, how is it Mechuyi B'dover? So Be'emes, there is a Gemara in Megillah, and the Gemara in Brachas, but the Gemara has a big chiddush, because we skim over the Gemara, we don't read it slowly. We zip through the Gemara's there, so the Yavnei Nezer points out in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, he says, you read the Gemara slowly, the Gemara says the following, Yavnei Nezer has a shaila. Can I be the Bal Takei on Blo Shofar? Let's say I have trouble with my ears. So whenever I don't have to, I put earplugs in. I shouldn't hear any sound at all. I don't hear anything. Can I be, if I'm deaf and I can't hear Tkiyah Shofar, I'm not Mechuyev B'dover, not Mechuyev in Tkiyah Shofar, so I can't be the Bal Takei for other people. I'm not deaf, but right now I put earplugs in my ears and I can't hear a sound at all. Can I be the Bal Takei to be Moitzi other people or not? That's the Shiloh of the Avnei Nezer. So he quotes a Gemara and Megillah and the Gemara Brachas, but the Gemara says, what's the halach if a person says a Brachas, says Kiddush, Havdalah, he says Kriyashma, V'loi Hishmi Oliyotim, he didn't say it loud enough that he should hear. Is it Yotzi or not? So it's a Machloikis Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yud. Machloikis Hatanam, we pass from the Bidiyev, it is Yotzi. Lichatchil, every mitzvah of Amira should be at Kadesh Yashmi Eliyoznov. Hashma Eliyoznocha. Lichatchil, you have to be Mashmi Eliyoznov. The Mishnah Brura quotes a Machloikis, but it is Lichatchil is the Reis of the Rabbanon, that you should say Kriyashma loud enough that you should hear it. You shouldn't stand whispered so softly that you don't even hear it. But Bidiyev, we pass like those Tanoim against Rabbi Yosi, that if Loi Hishmi Eliyoznov is Yotzi. So the Gemara says, however, what happens if I will say, let's say, I'll say Kiddush, and I'm deaf. I can't hear it all, but I can still say the Kiddush. I can be, if you all like the Tana, lo Yishmiel, no lo Yatzah, so I don't have to say Kiddush. But I'm going to waste my breath to say Kiddush, I won't be Yotzeh anyway. So I'm deaf and I can't hear. But what happens if we pass in Allah that lo Yishmiel, no is Yotzeh? So I'm a chayiv to say Kiddush, I'll say Kiddush. I'm the father of the household. So I'll say Kiddush and I'll be Motzi everybody else. So the Gemara says, yeah, they'll all be Yotzei, but they won't be Yotzei Lachatchila. Because since I, the one who's saying the Kiddush, am unable to be Mashmi Oli Oznai, so I'm only Yotzei B'Diyevid with my Amir of Kiddush. So even those who are listening to me, who obviously are able to hear, otherwise they wouldn't be Shamer Kohen, they wouldn't be able to hear anything, even though they have Hashmo Oli Oznai Hem, The Gemara states clearly that they are only Yotzei B'Dievad. It doesn't make any sense. Why should they only be Yotzei B'Dievad? I'm only Yotzei B'Dievad because I'm not Mashmili Oznai. But they should be Yotzei L'Hatchil. So you see from that Gemara, the Avnei Nezer points out in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, you see from that Gemara that the Pshat in Shamea Ke'oine or Yotzei Moitzi, let's say if I'm doing a mitzvah Amir on behalf of somebody else, the Pshat is that it's a Pu'ula Mishutefes, that both of us together are saying the Kiddush, that both of us, I'm saying the words and you're listening, and it's considered as if we blend in together to be one person or whatever, one body, and all of us together are saying the Kiddush or reading the Megillah. So therefore, if I'm Lo Hishmi Eli Oznai, and I myself am only Yotzei B'Dievad, I don't have the full Kiyum Lo Hatchila, so your Kiyum cannot exceed my Kiyum. You can't be better than me. That's the Avnei Nezer points out as a Gemara. It's not even a Kiddush. It just says the Gemara says like that. It just adds on. L'chor the Pshat is that Shemei Koine is based on the Svara that it's a Pula Mishutefes. The Mashmiya with the Shemei together are working together to do the Kiddush. So the Ran and the Rivash have the same mindfall over here regarding Mechuyah B'Dover. Why is it that if a person is Eina Mechuyah B'Dover and Bo Tzachayin Yechay Vosan? Because let's say if a Koton will lay in the Megillah, he can't be Yotze the Megillah at all. It's not Mechuyah B'Dover. So if Zayin Mechuyah B'Dover, how can you say, well, we have a Pula Mishutefes? The two of us together are reading the Megillah, and we're both being Yotzei together. If I'm not Mechuyah B'Dover, I'm not being Yotzei anything. I'm not Nish Mechuyah. I have a Kiyum HaMitzvah. You can have Eina Mitzvah V'Yotzei, he gets a Kiyum HaMitzvah. But you can't say he's being Yotzei the Mitzvah. You're not Yotzei anything if you're not Mechuyah to do it. So therefore, the klal is, the Ran and the Rivash hold that you have to have Mechuyah B'Dover. So Memela, the Ran and the Rivash both hold, Mechuyah B'Dover doesn't merely mean just a Bar Chiyuvin. No. You need that you should actually be Yotzei B'Shas Maaseh, like by the fellow who's not deaf, who puts in earplugs. He's Mechuyev in Tkiya Shofar. He's a Bar Chiyuva. But right now, if he has earplugs, so the Avnei Nezer says, now he's not being Yotzei anything. Now he's not being Yotzei anything. So the Ran and the Rivash both say, if you have a Ben Ear laning for a Ben Kfar on the Thursday, the Monday before Purim, the Ben Ear is absolutely not being Yotzei anything whatsoever. True, what the Ritva says is correct. We both have the same Chiyuv, so both the same Bar Chiyuva. But still, am I being Yotzei anything now? Not at all. I can't be Yotzei if I want to. So therefore, the Ran and the Rivash hold that this is called Eina Mechuyah B'Dover. That's their pshat and Eina Mechuyah B'Dover. It's a chiddush. Therefore, they say that the Benir cannot lain for the Ben Kfar. The Benir HaKfarim have to lain for themselves. Oh, so Rashi and Rosh Hashanah is bothered with this. How do you ever say Yotze Motze? Stam, he's not a Bar Chiyuvah. Since I was Yotze ready to Kiyah Shofar or Kriya Samigila, how can I learn for somebody else? So Rashi has a comment because Kol Yisrael Areid Mezeh B'Zeh. Because of Orvus, and the Pshat is, it's considered as if I haven't fully been Yotze, my obligation of Kiyah Shofar or Kriya Samigila, until every Jew has been Yotze. So when I lay in Megillah a second time for another person, I'm also being Yotze now. Part of my Chiyuvah of Kriya Samigila, part of my Chiyuvah of Kiyah Shofar, Ayika Chiyuv is to hear Shayt myself, but also an extension, part of my Chiyuv is to see to it that all the Jews on Mechuyah B'Dover are also Yotzei. So when I lay in the Megillah a second time, or I blow Shayt for a second time, I'm also being Yotzei, that mitzvah. But let's say I'm laying on a day that I cannot be Yotzei anything today. I'm a Ben Ear. So then the Ran and the Rivash claimed, I'm not being Yotzei anything, so then he cannot be Yotzei anything. Even if there is a Chiyuv Arvus, but they claim that you can't say that I have any, I'm not being Yotzei anything now. It's the wrong day for me. For them, they have the Kulah, and I don't have any Kulah. So since I'm not being Yotzei anything at all, so you can't say, I cannot be Yotzei now. Before the Kriyas HaMegillah, of course, the Balkari has to say the three brachas and have in mind to be Yotzei everybody. The Mishnah Berura quotes in the name of the Machtes HaShekel that the whole tzibur should stand at the time that the Balkari recites the three brachas. You look in the Kaf HaChaim, he quotes that many Achronim write that the Minig never was so. But the Minig always was that everybody sat. So if the shul has a Minig that everybody sits, it's not really Kedai that the Bnei Torah should make a fuss, because Pashtus Mikar Adin is not really it's a very big chumrah. Also has a tshuva, quotes of Bnei Yeshua and Megillah Daf Chafalov, also disagrees with that, against that Machtes HaShekel. Pashtus is that the tzibur doesn't have to stand while the Balkori is saying the brachas. Kaf HaChaim points out that whenever somebody says a bracha to be moitzi somebody else, I got a gift of a Kaf HaChaim this year. It's interesting. So Kaf HaChaim quotes that whenever someone says a bracha to be moitzi somebody else, they always say b'shus ha-sagri. If you say ha-moitzi, they say b'shus. You say ha-moitzi lach-menor. If you say b'or pri-agofen, if you kiddush or havdol or whatever, so you say savri. Masbirim alayayin. That's what the Gonim say. You say savri when you're about to drink wine. That's when a person, let's say, a Masari Kiddushin. So the first word he's supposed to say is savri. Before he says the Barpia Gopna, the Chosin Kala should pay attention. So Machlekes Achorinim, when he Masari Kiddushin, when he says savri or Bishu. So that's why the people don't want to get involved in the Machlekes. They don't say anything to them. But I remember the Rav, as I recall, the Rav used to say savri. Machlekes used to say savri, anyayin. So here the Kaf HaChaim quotes Machorinim, that the proper thing is that before the Baal Kriya starts saying the three brachas, he should say Birshus, then he should say the bracha, Baruch Atah. Then he quotes an interesting minhag, which we sometimes have and sometimes don't have, depending on how crowded the shul is. B'shas Kriyas HaTorah, we're always pretty makbid to have two people stand on either side of the Baal Korei. This is in the classical Achronim they have in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, they all point this out. So the Kaf HaChaim points out that the same is really true regarding Kriyas HaMegillah. You should also have two people, one Limin HaKorei and one Lesmol HaKorei B'shas Kriyas HaMegillah. The Prima Gaudim points out we have a Minhag that B'shas Kriyas HaMegillah, we have the whole Megillah folded out. We don't do like Kriyas HaTorah. Posh Taki Geras. So sometimes people fold out the Megillah and it'll be hanging down over the table. So the Prima Gaudim says that that's a Bizoyan HaSeven. But Loi Meboy, if it hangs down and it's rolling, it's sitting on the floor, then it's certainly bizoyin. The Mishnah says in Erevin, the Mishnah at the end of Erevin, that it's just hanging down, it's also bizoyin ha-sefer, just to be tolui, to have the sefer tolui. So if you want to have hush to be ki geres, make sure that the holy geres is on top of the bima, shouldn't be hanging down. Which language does the Megillah have to be in? So the Mishnah says that you can lane Giftus legiftim and modus lemodim, you can be yotzi in any language. The Gemara says only levatcha take suva, but it's a loshen. Let's say the Megillah is written in Hebrew and then someone's going to say it in English. So he's not leining mitech haksav, so then no one's going to be yotzi because it's a kriya bal peh. But if the Megillah is written in that language, then everybody can be yotzi. So Shulchan Aruch is a big machloikis haposkim exactly what that means. Shulchan Aruch writes, the Mechaber and the Rambo both write, it doesn't matter what script the Megillah is written in. The Megillah could be written either in Hebrew, like we all have, everybody today is a Makbedach and a Hebrew Megillah, or you can write the whole Ksav, can be written on the Klav, in English characters, or in Russian letters, or in Greek letters, whatever language you write it in, you can lane it in any language, provided that it's written in that language, and the Oisius can be in any language also. Then the Mishnah Brura quotes the Vilna Goyen, with a whole group of Rishonim who disagree and insist, no, that a Mazdaf could be written b'ksav Ashuris. It can be transliterated. Let's say you can have the Megillah in English, but with Hebrew letters, like you have, and it was in the days of Achashverosh. Even Achashverosh, so you have to have, and Aleph Nun Dalet, it was, Aleph Yutes, was, Vavavayin Samachasam. It has to be written in Hebrew letters. You can write it in English letters. It has to be written in Hebrew letters with the transliteration of the English. That's what the Vilna Gaon, Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Vilna Gaon like that, and a group of Rishonim like that. The Avnei Nez also makes a big fuss about this. So it's interesting, the Kaf HaChaim quotes a Machlekes, it's an interesting idea what he raises as Shaila. A Machlekes between the Beis Yosei and other Achrayim. What's the din? Quotes the Chazdik David and the Tosefta and other Achrayim. What's the din in the following case? At Sedreita Sefer, he's writing transliterated in English letters, he's writing Hebrew. By Yehi B'mei Achashverosh, so he writes V-A-Y-E-H-E, Vayehi B'mei B-E-Y-M-E-I. Yehi B'mei Achashverosh, what's the din in such a case? If you hold like the Vilna Gaon, like those who show, of course it's no good, it has to be in Hebrew letters. Let's say if you accept the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that it could be in any ksav, does that only mean that any language could be in any ksav? What about the Hebrew language? Are you yet seeing Hebrew if it's in a different ksav? So the Vesiesu says, what's the difference? If it's transliterated ahin or aher, whether it's Hebrew and English, or English and Hebrew characters, it's good. And he quotes some Achreinim, a minority opinion among Achreinim, that it's no good. And in Tesanta Einfal, that Loshon HaKodesh is only called a language, B'Ksav, if it's in Ksav Ashuris, if it's in Hebrew letters. Loshon HaKodesh, if it's in different letters, is not called any language. B'Klav is not called a language. Interesting. So let's say if you write a get, let's say a person would write a get in English letters using Hebrew words, it will transliterate Hebrew into English letters. It's So the machloek is whether they get this kasha or not. Same shal is over here. Is that called a ksav? Is that called a script or not? Is that called a language? If you write Loshon HaKodesh in other letters. Ksav Meshita, right. It's also not ksav Loshon. The Mishnah has a din that Korah Misnamnim is Yotze. If a person is drowsy and he's reading the Megillah, so he's Yotze. So the Mishnah Brura gets involved in a starke kasha. If you hold a mitzvah Sviches Kavone, even though mitzvah is the Rabbonon, the Morgan Avram quotes in the name of the Chuvas of Radvaz, and of his creation, the mitzvah is the Rabbonon named Sviches Kavone, but apparently the Mishnah Brura is quoting the Prima Gorim that a Dibre Kabbalah is the Dibre Terah Damya. So in mitzvahs deraisa, you need the mitzvah Sviches Kavone. So he assumes that you need kavana. So he's bothered with the question, how, if the fellow is half asleep, how can he possibly have kavana lotzes? So the Mishnah Brura is miyashiv in the Sharat Zion. He says he thinks the teretz is that in the beginning, all you need kavana lotzes for is in the beginning of the mitzvah. Let's say I do a mitzvah that takes me a half an hour, or an hour and a half. Fears I'm going to take a long time, a longer Megillah. So he has kavana lotzes in the beginning, then he keeps on going. So even if he's drowsy in the middle and he no longer has intention, kavana lotzes, but everything is halach, I'll shame the kavana at the beginning. So since in the very outset he had kavana lots, so this would be good enough. It's interesting, the Mishkanes Yankov has a tshuva, the very last tshuva in the Sefer Mishkanes Yankov, Chelek Arachayim. So as he points out this problem, where's the kavana lots, so he gives a completely different answer. He says, if you look in the Yerushalmi, you see a whole different mishat and misnamne. The Mishnah puts together two people that offhand they're not related, two situations. One is Korah Sarigan and one is Korah Mistamni. Korah Sarigan means he reads a few lines and then he goes for a walk, and then he's mafsik and he shmuzes with everybody else, then he reads another couple of lines, then he's mafsik. That's called Sarigan. He's mafsik in the middle. So the Mishnah says if you read it Sarigan Yotze, and if you read it Misnamne, it's also Yotze. So why were these two people put in a Shema Achas? The Mishnah Siyankah quotes the Yerushalmi on Megillah that Misnamnim doesn't mean the way the Mishnah Brura understood. It means a different Shah. Mishnah Siyankah was way before the Mishnah Brura. It quotes this Yerushalmi, doesn't mean the way the Mishnah Brura understood Shah. It means the fellow is reading the Megillah and he knows he has Kavanah Lotzeh as he's reading the Megillah, and then he dozes off in the middle, and then while he's dozing off he's not reading any Megillah and he's pausing for 5 minutes. It's Sarigan. And then when he wakes up he's fully awake, and then he has again kavana latzis and he leans another couple of prokin Megillah, and then he dozes off. While he's dozing off he's not leaning anything, but each time he's leaning he does have kavana latzis. That's why the Mishnah puts together Korah Misnamnim with Korah Sarigan. They're both the same case. Misnamnim, the chisorin that one might have thought passels the kriya, is because he's mafsik in the middle. I said, what do you list it twice for? It's the same thing. If Sarigan is yotzos, so Misnamnim is also yotzos. So he says no, one might have thought we just learned the Makos kol shenu elabilo. Maybe, what if Lechatchili you're not supposed to be mafsik in the middle of the Kriyas HaMegillah at all? So, but Yevet of Korah Sarigan, so Yotza. You're not Yotza the Mitzvah B'Shlei Musa because you're mafsik Korah Sarigan. You didn't lane it B'Ritzifus, but B'Yevet you Yotza. So one might have argued, B'Med Vorem Amurim. When is a person Yotza Kriyas HaMegillah? If he lanes it B'Sarigan, if he paused in the middle, and he had the ability not to pause, he had the Brera not to pause, and he chose to pause in the middle. But what happens if he's mukhrach into pause and he falls asleep and he cannot control himself, he cannot prevent himself from falling asleep? So since he wasn't roi labila, he wasn't roi to lane it without a hafsak because he fell asleep in the middle and he couldn't control it. So one might have perhaps thought that he's not even yetzi but the evident this sarigan. I might have thought that this sarigan is worse than the snamnim sarigan is worse than a plain sarigan when he did the sarigan b'pshia b'miskaving. So that's what the Yerushalmi interprets the Mishnah, and that's the Chiddush. The Korah Misnamnim Yotza, even though it's a Sarigan which was Bo'enes and he didn't have the ability to lay in it Beretzifus, he's still Yotza B'diyah. But it doesn't mean that he's laying in the Megillah while he's half asleep. If he's half asleep, so Misnamnim is not Kavanah Lotza, Takanat Yotza. That's how the Mishkanes Yankov times. It's Megillah Dina sometimes. The Gemara says that the Chachamim were Misakan a Bracha Shel Achreho on the Megillah. The bracha shalafanehu is chiyuv. Kol ha-mitzvahs kulam avarach alayim ayvul asiyosam. One must always recite a bracha before doing a mitzvah, whether the mitzvah is ben HaTorah or mitzvah mid Rabbanan. However, the bracha shalachreho, the Gemara says, is dependent on the minhag ha-makom. Makom shenagel levarach yivarchu. Makom shenagel levarach lo yivarchu. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Yerushalmi, the way the Mechaber interprets the Yerushalmi, the way his Rishonim interpreted, that the bracha shalachreho is only recited when the Megillah is read b'tzibum. When it's read b'yochid, it's not recited. The Behetev and other Achronim quote big, large group of Achronim who disagree, and interpret that only Goyim disagree, so it's not so, and they interpret that Yerushalmi goes on Kriyas HaTorah, that you don't say a Birchas HaTorah le'achreo if you lain b'yochid, but the Birchas HaMegillah, even if you lain b'yochid, many have the meaning that you do say the bro. The Rav mentioned last night that our meaning is that not. Most of his most Ashkenazim, despite him, not so much. Most Ashkenazim have the meaning that you don't recite the bracha shalach rehel biyoch, except for the people who always follow the Goyin sheet. The Goyin says that it's all a mistake. But those who follow the Goyin even will even say a bracha biyechidus shalach rehel, the bracha shalach rehel biyechidus. It's a different key. The way we generally assume that the bracha shalach rehel is not recited biyochid, only b'tzibur, is because the kriyas hamegillah b'tzibur constitutes a completely different key amitzvah from biyochid. We have the Moshe, the Gemara in Daf Hei says that the Kriyas HaMegillah Shaloi Bizmano, let's say for the Bnei HaKforim who are Magdim Talein at the Yom HaKnisa, the Monday or Thursday before Purim, so they're only Yotze the Megillah if they lain Basor. If you lain Bizmano, then it's a Machlokes Rav and Ravasi, whether you need Davke Basor. And we paskin Yotze even B'li Asor, and we even paskin say a Bracha, some Machlokes, since it's a Machlokes in the Gemara, so if you lain without Asor, you should lain without a Bracha, and we paskin that, so you even lain with a Bracha, on Purim without a minyan, even with a bracha. But if you're laying on the Yom HaKnisa, if the Bnei HaKforim read on the Monday or Thursday before Purim, then the Gemara says you have to have Davke Asar, because if this Kriyas HaMegillah Basar is a separate kiyum, and that's where the Chacham were Mesaken. This special kula for Bnei HaKforim was only if you have a minyan. Shulchan Aruch has even a very interesting, fascinating chumrah that this we don't always observe. Shulchan Aruch says that what if you have nine people? You don't have a minyan, you have nine people. And everybody knows how to read the Megillah himself. So the Mechaber writes a din in the name of Rishonim that if I will lay in the Megillah and have in mind to be Moitzi everybody else, they will not be Yotze. Because just like by davening Shmon Esrei, we have a din that I can only be Moitzi as Habaki, I can only be Moitzi somebody else who knows how to daven on his own if you have Asorah, if you have a minion, Bitzibon. But if you don't have a minion, you can only be Moitzi as Shein Habaki, and you cannot be Moitzi as Habaki. So the Mechaber carries over this din, that's how the Magen Avraham interprets the Mechaber. The Mechaber carries over the din of Shmana Esrei to Kriyas HaMegillah. Apparently the Mechaber is of the opinion, he quotes Rishonim, a group of Rishonim like that. Apparently they are of the opinion that Kriyas HaMegillah, in addition to being all the other kiyumim that it is, it's the kiyum of Kriyas Ksuvim B'tzibur, the Rav spoke last night, it's the kiyum of Hallel, many, many. No, so the Gemara quotes two sources for the din. So one pasuk is Leman Yizamercha Chavod V'lo Yidom Hashem Elokai Leyoilo Meideko. I always say praise to Hashem Yizbarach. I say praise Balaylo, and I repeat the praise again by Yom. So that's according to the Svara that Kriyas HaMegillah is a Kiyum of Hallel. So it's Leman Yizamercha Chavod V'lo Yidom Hashem Elokai Leyoilo Meideko. I repeat the praise Balaylo by Yom. Then the Gemara quotes another pasuk Elokai Ekra Yomim V'lo Yisane. When I mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yeis tzoro, the Gemara says that that perek in Tilim was composed by David HaMelech b'nevuah as referring to, as alluding to the Nes Purim. The Radak says on that perek in Tilim, it doesn't necessarily mean that he had in mind specifically Esther HaMalkut. The Nes Purim means that he had in mind all the tzoros that the Jews will go through during the years of Golus. So that pasuk says in that perek, l'kayek yomim v'leisane, so the pasuk speaks of tchina, speaks of tefillah, that a person is mispalel b'yeis tzora, and if he's not answered, then he's mispalel again b'yeis tzora. The Gemara derives from that pasuk this idea of Rabbi Shulam Levi, the chayvam likrisus hamigila balaylo ulashanos b'yom. So the Rav pointed out, you see from the pashtus haGemara that kriyas hamigila, in addition to being a kiyum of kriyas ksuvim b'tzibur or kriyas ksuvim b'yochid, whatever it is also a kiyum of hallel, like the Gemara says kriyas azu halela. And there's also a kiyum of tefillah. So that's why the Mechaber paskens that b'yochid, you cannot be motzi. B'yochid means less than a minyan. If you have less than 10 people, you cannot be motzi the others if they are boki, they are able to lean on their own. Most of the paskim don't accept that psak of the Mechaber. Most of the Magen Avraham and others disagree that you can even be motzi as haboki if you have less than a minyan. This comes up very often. Let's say if you, what's called a minyan? But again, to this special kiyum that we're speaking of, So when you learn Kriyas HaMegillah Ba'asor, it's a special kiyum v'haraya that the Mechaber says only Ba'asor can you be Motzias HaBoki, and only Ba'asor do you say the Bracha Shel Achreho. And the Gemara says only Ba'asor can you be Yotzi Shaloi Bizmanoi. So what does it mean Ba'asor? It means 10 men and women together. It doesn't mean Dafke 10 men, a minion, like a regular minion. So the Agos HaShri HaMegillah quotes a suffix from the Ozarua. The Ozarua was Mustapek. For the women on the Mitzuruf in the minyan over here, maybe since the whole idea of Asar here is only for Pesum and Nisa, so women should also be Mitzuruf. It's not an Indian of Dov, it should be Dusha. Then the Ozeru, after raising the suffix, is Poshet Lohakil. He thinks that the women are Mitzuruf, that it's not an Indian of Dov, it should be Dusha, the women are Mitzuruf. For some unknown reason, the Hagos Ashri only quoted the beginning of the Ozeru, didn't quote the end. So he quotes the suffix and applied by a suffix. No, so it's a suffix, so you have to be Machmir, so the Shulchanah quotes Lachomer. That the women are not mitzuruf in a minyan. That if you speak of a minyan, you have to have 10 men. It can't be mitzuruf women to the minyan. So them is we have it's a common minig b'chol tfutzis Yisrael, the Magen Avraham and the Bach say mefurish like that. After the men have heard the Megillah at home, let's say if a woman just had a baby, little children, so you can't take them to shul. So you have a man who is ready yotzi kriyas haMegillah laying over for the women. That's what the Magen Avraham writes in the name of the Bach. That's the practice. So the shaila is that really legitimate? Can you be mitzi the others if the women don't know how to read? Maybe years ago the women were illiterate, they couldn't read at all. But today you have a lot of women who know how to read the Megillah better than the men. They know the Yerah. They don't know the truck, so what? But they know how to read the Megillah. They can figure out how to read the Megillah themselves. So the shaila is, will always be pachas me'asor. You can have 100 women, according to the way Mechaber is machmir, that women are not mitzurah for this minyan either, against the Ozerua. The Ozerua raises the suffix and then he's poishit lahokel. But the Mechaber doesn't have the Ozer. Mechaber quotes the Hagos Ashri, he has the suffix, and then he says, since it's a suffix, you have to be machmir on it. So according to the Mechaber, who's machmir, that for the minyan, for the Asor, you have to have davke 10 men. So even if you have 100 women, you wouldn't say the Bracha Shel Achareh. It's not ba'asor. Or you wouldn't be able to be moitzi the women. If there's someone who's a baki, she wouldn't be yotzi. Let her read her own Megillah. So chumra, no, so that we don't really follow. That Mechaber who says that pachas me'asorah, you don't allow one person to be mitzi the others unless the other person is an ein baki. So that many poskim disagree with. So the ma'aseh, that's our practice. We allow a person who already was yotzi kriyas haMegillah to be mitzi the women, even though it's pachas me'asorah. Them is the poskim ha'me'orer. Several other shailas regarding this practice that we have. First of all, they point out there's a famous Dogel Mevaveh and Hilchas Kiddush who says that there's no orvus. He quotes the Rosh and Brachas that there's no orvus lenoshim. The din of Kol Yisrael Arevim doesn't apply to Noshim. What exactly does that mean? It means that women are not Arevim for men. That's one version. Women are not Arevim for men. And then the Dogel Mevaveh wants to even say that men are not Arevim for women. So what's the significance if men are not Arevim? If the man who's reading the Megillah the second time already was Yotzi Kriyas haMegillah, he already heard the Megillah in Shul. He was the Baal Keri in Shul, whatever. So he was Yotzi. So how can he be Yotzi now? There's a klal. You have to be a Bar Chiyuv. So the answer was mentioned before, because Yotzi Yotzi, because Rashi says, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zavizeh. If one is to say, like the dogma of other things, that there's no Orvus on behalf of women, men don't have a din of Orvus for women, and that's where the dogma of other makes a whole fuss about the women who didn't daven on Friday night. And the husbands did daven, how can the husband say Kiddush to be Moitzi the wife? The wife is Mechuyiv in Kiddush min HaTorah, and the husband is only Mechuyiv in Kiddush min the Rabbanon, because he was Yotzi Kiddush deraisa in the Kiddush b'tfilah. So if this is really a problem, if this really poses a problem, that there is a din, that there's no orvus on behalf of women, so the practice that we have, the Dogen Bava has this also on the Tzlach. He points it out in the Sefer on Brachos, Tzlach on Abchof and on Daf Memches, where that brush is. The thesis is. So then you have quite a major problem over here. How do we have this institution that the one who learns the Megillah for the women has already been Yotzei before in Shul? He already heard Kriyas haMegillah. So the answer is, we don't worry about that Tzlach, because Rebbe Kadega says that he's wrong. Rebbe Kadega in the Tshuva says that Tzlach is wrong. That there's no Orvis for women only means that the women don't have Orvis for the men, but the women have Orvis for the women. Or Rebbe Kadega says the whole thing is wrong. The Rosh means a different word. Women are not a raven for men on the mitzvah that they're not mechuyev in. If the women are part of from Birchas HaMazon, then they're not a raven to see to it that the men bench Birchas HaMazon. Whenever they're both mechuyev, then there is a raven. However, there's another problem that the post can point out. The Prima Gadim has a suffix in the Psicha HaKolel, Estar HaChayim. Maybe there's no Orvas on Dinim de Rabbonim. Because the Gemara in Soita that speaks of Orvas spells out how many creases bris in the war on the Indian of Orvas. So the Gemara says there were Taryag mitzvahs, and there's Orvus on each and every one of the mitzvahs. So since the Gemara spells out the number, Taryag, so the Prima Gadim is Ma'ir HaSofik, maybe there's no Orvus, but it's going to get to Dinam de Rabbon. If it's not Arvus Benegiah to Dinim the Rabbanim, so you can never be Moiti somebody else on a Dinim the Rabbanim that you were Yotzi already. So I can never lay in the Megillah even for men. If I go to a hospital to lay for the sick men in the hospital, if I already was Yotzi in the Megillah, I can't be Moiti there. It's quite a chum. The Minig is not, so the Minig is we don't follow that. That Prima Gadim. Here it wouldn't help to say that Divrei Kabbalah could Divrei Torah Damim, because the whole word of the Prima Gadim is based on the Gemara. The Gemara says Taryag. It doesn't say Deraisa as opposed to Rabban. It says Taryag. That's why some Poskim are Medaktik and that Gemara, it knows it, the Kerenur discusses there, and that Gemara knows it. Maybe only like that Prima Gadim, maybe only on the Taryag mitzvahs Deraisa. And Dinim the Rabban, maybe there's no Orbis. There's another problem involved, and this is this problem the Mishnah Brura does quote. The Tour in a few places in Arachayim quotes the Shitas HaGaonim that you only say Yotza Moitzi if the other fellow takas and ain't a Boki. The other fellow is a Boki, you can't say Yotza Moitzi. Why? What's the whole idea of Yotza Moitzi? Even though I was Yotza the Mitzvah already, I can repeat the Kiddush for you, I can repeat the Kriyas HaMegillah for you. But I'm no longer Mechuyi B'dovah. And it means Shein Mechuyi B'dovah and Moitzi HaChem Adeichai Vosim. So the answer is no. Rashi answers, because Kol Yisrael Arev Mizeh B'zeh. I have a responsibility to see to it that you too are Yotze the Mitzvah. Why do I have a responsibility to see that you too should be Yotze the Mitzvah? Read the Megillah yourself. What, you don't know how to read the Megillah? See, if you taka don't know, if you're an Eina Boki, you don't know how to read the Megillah, then you say, well, it's my responsibility to help you out. But if the other fellow is a Boki, let's say the women know how to read the Megillah themselves, or they know how to say the brachas themselves. Maybe reading the Megillah, that's too tough. They don't know. One is not a good Balkari, it'll take them all day long. They'll finish the Megillah after Shkia. Okay. So then you can say maybe he's not a Baki. Say the brachas that you can read from a siddur with Nekudas. So everybody's a Baki to say the brachas. So that's why many poskim say that when someone reads the Megillah for someone else, even if the other fellow is talking ain't a Baki, he's an ain't a Baki on Kriyas HaMegillah, but most people in the world are Baki, they know how to say the brachas themselves. So you should always tell the other fellow to say the three brachas on his own, because what right do I have to say the brachas for him? What do you mean Yotza Moitzi? Maybe there's no Orvis if the other fellow is a Baki. What do you need me to do it for him? Zal alein ton the mitzvah. So that already more poskim achoshish for them. So the proper thing should be, let's say, that's how many poskim say the proper thing should be, that when one is reading, let's say, with a Balkari already laying the Megillah, he already was Yotzi in Shul. Then he goes to laying the Megillah for a group of women or for people in the hospital, whatever, so he should get one of them to recite the brachas. But he might see all the others. He shouldn't really say the brachas for them, because with respect to the brachas, there's certainly biki. So that a baki, there's a serious worry in Gaon, in the Tur B'Shem HaGaonim, that you don't apply Yotza Motzi. The shaila is, what if he's laying the Megillah for a group of women? Should one woman recite all the brachas for all of the others, or should every woman say her own bracha? So why shouldn't one woman say the brachas for everybody else? So here's a funny shaila. The shaila is whether women can lay in Kriyas HaMegillah to be Moitzi men. So the Pashtus in the Gemara in Erechin is that HaKol Chayovim be Kriyas HaMegillah, Echad HaNashim, Echad Nashim. And the Pashtus in the Bavli in the beginning of Erechin is that a woman can lay in the Megillah to be Moitzi men as well. That's the Pashtus. There's this quote in the name of the Bahag that a woman cannot be Moitzi men in Kriyas HaMegillah. The shaila is, why not? So there are different suggestions in the Rishonim what the Pshat in the Bahag is. Everybody's guessing a different Pshat in the Bahag. So one Rishon says, because Kol Isha, that's why. Not that she can't be Moitzi. Kailisha, you're going to sing the trot. And another opinion in the Rishonim is that it's not covered at Tzibur. Pastachnish, agnai for the Tzibur. The woman should lay for the man. Okay. So the Karban Nisanel on Megillah misquotes that Taisus. He quotes that Taisus differently from the way it says. He says a woman, Taisus says a woman cannot lay in the Megillah for men. Men are supposed to be sitting in the yeshiva learning all the time. Women are supposed to be sitting home, cooking and baking and knitting and whatever they're supposed to do. So the woman is going to lay in the Megillah to be Moitzi the men. She knows better than the men. There's no covered atzibur there. But what if a woman is going to read the Megillah to be Moitzi other women? What's the bizayin atzibur? So all the women, they're all educated, or they're not, and she is educated, so she lays the Megillah to them. So the Karmen Nisanel misquotes this thesis as saying that a woman cannot lay in the Megillah to be Moitzi other women because it's not a covered atzibur. And punk, this Karmen Nisanel is quoted by the Mishnah Brura. Had the mazel that he quoted this Karmen Nisanel. Tachdam is a misquotation. It doesn't say that in Taisus. Karmen Sal misquoted the Taisus. Pilek ploy, that's what he said. So some modern poskim, some of the more recent poskim say, well, the Mishnah Brura quotes the Karmen Sal. They ignore the fact that the whole thing is an error. Mishnah Brura quotes the Karmen Sal that it's a bizoyin atzibur for the woman to lay the Megillah for the other. So who adinami the zelbe bizoyin atzibur for the woman to recite the brachas to be moitzi all the other women? So when the Balkore lays the Megillah for the women, every woman should say her own three brachas. Sashvere chumra. The pashtus is that one woman should say all the three brachas to be mitzi, all the women who want to be yitz. We have a minig that's quoted in the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, the Bishas Kriyas HaMegillah. The tzibur lanes along with the balkore certain psukim, certain key psukim in the Megillah, and then the balkore lanes it mitach aksav because we're saying it balpe, we're saying from a printed Tanakh. So if you look in the Yeshkol, we usually think of this as a Purim Bikin Minig, a special minig with the Megillah Purim. You look in the Sefer HaYeshkol where he quotes the Tshuva Sagonim, the source of this minag. This was a minig in connection with Kriyas Tanakh. They had been hogging not only on Purim, they had been hogging all year long. There was a series of 10 psukim throughout Tanakh that came up in different haftaris. It happens that a whole bunch of them were here in the Megillah, but most of the psukim were not in the Megillah. Most of the psukim were on other occasions of the year. Happy psukim with a tzibu would chime in and say the psukim along with the bal maftir. So it's by us, we've neglected the other psukim, we only do this, so we think that it's a Purim Dikim minig, but the origin of the minig is really not such. It's a minig in Kriyas Tanakh in general. There is a modern shaila that comes up in a lot of shuls now regarding Kriyas HaMegillah over a microphone. And the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe raises a sofik, what's the nature of the din in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, that if you heard the kol ha-shofar, you heard the kol ha-vora, an echo, you're not yotze, only if you heard the kol ha-shofar itself. So Moshe glares a shaila, the Rav has raised the same shaila, with the same nafkamin regarding the microphone, what's the gedera din of the kol ha-vora? Does kol ha-vora mean that you're not yotze because it's not clear, in which case over the microphone it's crystal clear? If it's clear, you would be yotze. Well, no, kol ha-vora is not good because it's not the original kol, so here it's also not the original kol, so you would not be yotze. So that's what Moshe writes. He doesn't think that it's proper to introduce a shinui in the minig. We really should not introduce such a change to lay the Megillah over a microphone. But if the shul has a microphone and they're laying already like that, so he doesn't know if it's kedai to make a big fuss, to make a big machlekes over this, because Kriyas HaMegillah is only the Rabbanan anyway, maybe why you'd say Nishgefela, that's what he writes. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has in his little sefer on use of electricity on Shabbos and for other religious purposes, he writes, he doesn't quote the Igros Moshe, of course. He writes, first he describes how a microphone works. He gives you all the description of physics, in terms of physics. And then he says, therefore, anybody who understands how it works will understand a double kasha that it's certainly not the kol. It's converted to electrical current, then it's converted back to sound waves. He says, it's certainly not yotzei, no doubt about it. And if you hear a broche over the telephone, you hear a broche over a microphone, you didn't hear it in person, you certainly wouldn't be yotzei with shemei kain, and no doubt about it. The only shot is, would you say omen or not? So he says, no, when they used to wave the flags in Alexandria, used to have hanafas asudorim and shul. So since everybody knew what broche the chazim was saying, even though they didn't hear the broche, so the Gemara says that they said amen. So as long as you know that someone is saying a broche, you can say amen, even though you don't hear the broche. Fine, but he thinks that's only if you're in the same shul. He doesn't think of it. Let's say I can say amen now. I know for sure someone's saying shahakal somewhere in the world. I'm saying amen all day long. I have to know who's saying amen. Nah, he thinks it has to be up to some close proximity in the same shul. I know the chazan is saying a broche, so I should say amen maglat. I know they're making a siyum hashas in Los Angeles, and I'm listening over television. I'm going to say amen. I know he just finished the broche this second, but you're not even there. There's no connection. So he thinks that it's not even right to say amen to a broche that you hear over the telephone, let alone be yitz. This is what he says, Belishim Safik, and he quotes a Tshuvas Halachas Ketanos, who describes something like a telephone and a microphone. He thinks it's a Kal V'chomer from this Halachas Ketanos that you're not yitz. Then in the footnote, he writes, Achaz Man Rav, after many years of printing the Sefer, he discussed it with the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish thought that maybe you are yitz. Explained, Chazon Ish was dinging with him. He quotes it, and then he says, and I just can't understand how he could have said it. I can't understand what shaykh to say yotze with the mic. Connection with the Sudas Purim, the Aruch HaShulchan points out in Hilchas Purim, that it's the mashmois of the poskim that passes necessary. You have to wash. For the Suez Purim. If a person doesn't wash, he's not yet. That's why there's a machlokes in Poskim. If a person benches after the Suez Purim on Purim and he forgot the Alanism, does he have to bench over again? So some Poskim suggest that the machlokes depends on this issue, that you have to have pas or not. You know, HaShulchan thinks that it's not mukhra. He thinks most probably you do need pas. And it's still a machlokes. Maybe you're still yet even without mentioning Alanism. The Rambam points out, and Bemis, the Shulchan Aruch says it, if you look carefully, that you have to have Basar V'Yayin for the Suras Purim. Just like on Yontif, you have to have Basar V'Yayin out of Simchas Yontif. So on Purim as well, right, if you look in the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Suras Purim, you won't find it. If you look in the last Simon in Hilchas Purim, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about Avelus, on Purim, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes it in Oinin Rahman al-Islam, Mishim Eisim Utalafano, is forbidden to eat Basar V'Yayin. So the Mechaber raises the Shaila, what's it in? If he's an Oinin on Purim, is he allowed to eat Basar V'Yayin? What does he need Basar V'Yayin for? What's the problem? So the answer is, he needs Basar V'Yayin for the Suda. Because the Rambam says, he needs Basar V'Yayin for the Suda. So that's what the Rambam writes, and it's quoted at the end of Shulchan Aruch, that you have to have Basar V'Yayin. What kind of Basar? So it's a deal in Paskim. What kind of Basar do you need on Yontif? Is chicken enough? Or do you need Dafke Basar Behema? Machloikis. Sama Machmer, you need Dafke Basar. Yayin, the Rambam writes over, the Rambam quotes over the Gemara. How did the Rambam know you have to have Yayin? How do you know you have to have Basar V'Yayin? Because the Gemara says it's a din of Adolo Yoda. So Rashi says, How do you know biyayin? Livsume means to get drunk. You can get drunk faster with other things. Well, how does Rashi know yayin? So Rabbi Yosef Fengel and the Gilyoni Hashas points out other Rishonim say the same, the Rekeach and the Tshuva and the Radbaz. The Rambam is the one who spells it out more mafurish than the others. The Rambam writes like this, the Tzudis Purim should consist of Basar V'Yayin. And unlike every other yontif, we just have a little yayin to make yourself happy, to get yourself in a good mood, to relax. And on Suras Purim, you have to have adolo yoda of yayin. So the Rambam learns that it's not a separate din. That's how the Bishkar Rav pointed out. If a fellow gets drunk on Purim, not in the middle of the Suras, so he's not yotze. And just like the Gemara says, Suras Purim, shasol balayla lo yotze dechay vosoy. So you're not yotze adolo yoda balayla. Adolo yoda is not a separate mitzvah. Adolo yoda is a chelik of the mitzvah of Suda. The Suda should consist of pas, Basar, Bayayin, or whatever else you want to have, and the Yayin should be Adelo Yoda. That's why the Maharil quotes the Rav Yo. The Rav Yo is Mesupik, but the Adelo Yoda is Ma'akev. What do you mean if it's not Ma'akev? The guy doesn't drink, so he didn't do the mitzvah. But let's say, is Kriyas HaMegillah Ma'akev? He didn't lay the Megillah, he weren't Yetz HaMegillah, so he didn't do Adelo Yoda. Whatever he didn't do, so he didn't do. What's the suffix if it's Ma'akev? That's what he means. He had Basar V'Yayin, but he didn't have so much Yayin Adelo Yoda, he had a little bit of Yayin. So the Maharil quotes a suffix from the Rav Yo, maybe that shir adaloyad is not ma'akev, but he ever yet with a little bit of yayin. So the Rambam, the Ramah quotes from the Rambam, what does mean adaloyad? The Rambam says you should drink a little more than you usually drink till you become drowsy and you should take a nap. It doesn't mean the guy should be mamish drunk. Why should the mitzvah be dafki v'yayin? Why should the mitzvah be dafki v'yayin? So achrenim say time, and because the nes, the psukim and the Megillah describe the parties that they had, and the common practice in the days of the Tanakh was to have parties with wine. They didn't have beer, they didn't have schnapps. Or another time, the Medrash says, the Gemara says that one of the Lashon Haras that Haman said about the Jewish nation was, famous Medrash, he says that if a fly would fall, and these Jewish people, they're terrible, if a fly would fall into a cup of wine, they would take the spoon, take out the fly, and then they would drink the rest of the wine. And if you, Achashverosh, would touch a cup of wine, they'd spill out the whole wine. It's Maga Nachri. Of course, they would spill Stam Yenim, they would spill out the wine. He's trying to make Lashon Hara against the Jews to say how bad we were. So that was part of the Nes of Purim, the story with the wine. And then Midrashim have other stories that have to do with wine also. So maybe that's the reason why Rashi and these Rishonim hold that Adol Yod is Dafka wine. Means it's, they understood it's not a separate mitzvah to get drunk on Purim. It's a chelik of the mitzvah of Suras Purim that one should have basar v'yayin, and the yayin should be more yayin than on a regular yontif one should have adelo yod. The Gemara says that Suras Purim shasol balayla lo yotze yedeichoy basar. So in that Gemara, the Rishonim have three different pshatim. The Chidor quotes a pshashitim kubetzis on Megillah, we don't have. I don't think we have. She converts the quotes of Sarishan, Aksav Yad, Pirishim and Rishonim, Aksav Yad, that it means if you have your Suda Amatsoi Purim, Beleil Shushan Purim in Ad Yotz, but if you have it on the night of Purim, you would be Yotz. Either by Yom HaBalayla Yotz, means Matsoi Purim in Ad Yotz. Another day in the Mordechai says, no, it does mean that. The Pashta says mean that. It means you're not Yotz if you only have a Suda Balayla, because it's just like Shabbos and Yontov, you have to have a Suda Balayla and a Suda Bayom. So to on Purim, you have to have Achaz Bayom and Achaz Balayla. And then there's a third sheet to that note, that it means that Balayla, there's no Shalach Manis, there's no Matanis Lev Yainim, and some Achreinim hold in Rebbe Yehuda, and a whole group of Achreinim hold that Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla is not even Midirei Kabbalah, You see, in Kriyas HaMegillah Medivei Kabbalah, in the days of Matchil Yester, there's only Bayoyim, and Balayla is only Medivei Rabbanon. There Bem is no mitzvah Hayoyim, no mitzvah Purim HaBalayla. So the Surah Balayla is also nothing. There's no Chiyiv Surah, and there's no mitzvah at all. That's why in Shulchan Aruch, that there is Ikenim and others, they quote two minhagim. In some communities, they were marked with davke to have a fleshik suda balayla and a fleshik suda bayom. To be mahade for that day in the mortchel, you need two sudas. Two mid the Shabbos viyant, a suda balayla and a suda bayom. And another day is no, bedavke to have milchiks balayla. Lest anybody think that his yetzir is suda balayla, so they have milchiks, and everybody knows that you're not yetzir suda spurim without boss of a yayin. That's based on the two shitas, whether the mitzvah suda is only bayom, or you have two sudas, davke bayom and balayla. No, that's not. You only have a chiyuv to do it once. But suda is compared to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Just like Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have to have two sudas. Shabbos, you have shalosh sudas, that's an addition. But the main two sudas should be one by Yom and one by Laila. The Shulchan Aruch quotes Rishonim that the shalach manis that you send cannot be svarim, it cannot be money, it has to be davke suda. You have to be mishatev the other person, your suda. Then they go further, they say, even if you give food, it has to be food that's cooked, that's royal achila right now. If you give raw food, it's not called some achlekes, but some poskim hold, many poskim hold, that it's not called manas. Manas means, oichel, that's royal achila right now. There's a big machlekes in achreinim, how much you have to give for matonis levyonim, you have to give one matonis to each of two levyonim. So some poskim hold that you yotze with the shor pruta, the mashor, and others say like that. Stock is a pruta, and other poskim say, no, you have to give enough to the yoni that he should be able to buy a whole meal. The Matanis Lavianim is also a mitzvah to be mishatif other people in your suda. Just like in Shlach Manas is to be mishatif a buddy, a friend of yours in your suda. So Matanis Lavianim is to be mishatif two poor people in the suda, but you don't necessarily have to give them the food. There you can give them the kish and have them buy the meal. Then is that step is the pashtus in the Gemara, in the end of Bab Mitzi, in the suda of Mishanim Midas Balabais, Nikro Gazla, and the Gemara seems to say like that. It used to always use the Moris Purim for the suda. And it's an isek zeila on the part of the oni if he uses the most purim for anything other than the suda spurim. Unless it's not understood like that. But the days of the Gemara was understood that the most purim that was given for the sake of eating suda spurim with. Most of the dinim of purim everybody knows. I just wanted to bring out the unusual dinim that I came across recently. Wish everybody a chaylich and purim. Good job.